It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As states' leaders grapple with how to ensure teens are equipped with financial literacy skills as they set out into the world, we look at what this education is like in the classroom. Call in with questions about personal finance education, what you think. The number to join in at any point is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Susan Peterson is Regional Director of Junior Achievement of Wisconsin, representing the North and West Central Region. The nonprofit provides K-12 schools programming, including financial literacy. Susan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And Ryan Winkler here as well, Business and Information Technology Instructor at Marathon High School in Central Wisconsin, teaching personal finance skills. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning. And Ryan, let's start with you. What do you teach in a personal finance class? Take us into the setting.
Well, we teach everything related to personal finance. You know, we try to make sure that we cover a wide variety of curriculum. We'll start with the basic savings and checking stuff, types of credit, managing credit, budgeting, investing, some career stuff, taxes and insurance. We try to cover it all.
Are the students receptive to this? Are they curious about learning about personal finance?
Yes, you know, that's what makes it probably one of my favorite classes to teach, is because it is a class that no matter what your interest, it's going to affect you someday. And I think if we can show them how it will affect them in the real world, that they are interested in it.
Susan, Junior Achievement, here's the national nonprofit that has been doing work like this for a long time. Can you share examples of how Junior Achievement teaches Wisconsin students about finance?
Yes, so we actually do it at three different touch points, from elementary, middle, and high school. And so our programs then align with the teachers, and we bring a community volunteer to come in and teach the curriculum that we provide and train on. But I think that the unique part of Junior Achievement is that we're able to kind of do those building blocks with them, starting with the wants and the needs in the elementary. In the middle school, you're really talking about, you know, budgeting. And then within high school, just as the teacher shared, we're talking a lot about investing, insurance, because you get a car, you need to get insurance, and being able to share that real life knowledge from a classroom volunteer for 5 or 7 lessons, I think is very helpful for students to get that real life perspective. We've even had students that have, and I'm sure the teacher has shared we'll share with this too, is just a Roth IRA. So after they've taken the Junior Achievement portion in the financial literacy class, students are opening their Roth IRAs at that age.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, I even remember when I was in high school, we had a volunteer come in and teach us about investing. Where do you find these volunteers? What is their background?
So within Junior Achievement, the goal is we're looking for people who have work experience. So it comes from, financial jobs to a number of ones out there. It could be, someone who also is, a parent, but who has work experience. And that's what we're looking for, is to hear their personal experience. A lot of those that are teaching our financial literacy programs come from our different banks or credit unions, because they partner and they feel passionate about being in our schools and working with our teachers and our students. So it's a lot of recruitment and finding that business community that really sinks and feels that, education is so important, and that we want them to work together and be aware of each other's needs.
What is involvement like here in Wisconsin? How do schools get involved with Junior Achievement?
Well, in this region, we've been going strong for about 32 years, and we have strong partnerships with our school districts. And so we typically, every second through fifth grader receives Junior Achievement within the Chippewa Valley, grade levels in the Cooley region also. And then middle school, we usually have at least one grade level experience. And within high school, we work with the teachers, as the one teacher that's on right now, in either a tech class, Or also within our financial literacy, accounting, business classes, marketing. It just really depends on where the need is in those schools. And that's where we align and find that synergy. So every student within that class or grade level that we're providing the program is receiving junior achievement.
Susan Peterson there, Regional Director of Junior Achievement of Wisconsin. As we talk about financial literacy and K-12 setting, we have Ryan Winkler, who's Business and Information Technology Instructor at Marathon High School. You can join in with your questions about financial literacy and teens and young people, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Ryan, you know, how much knowledge do your students come into your coursework with? Do they have some basic knowledge of saving before taking your personal finance class?
It depends on what they get from home. A lot of them, you can tell the students that their parents talk to them about budgeting and savings and investing, and you can definitely tell the ones that don't. So it's a wide range of knowledge.
A wide range of knowledge. So where do you start when you do have a lot of different experiences with money as students come into the classroom together? How do you, you know, what are the discussions like?
Oh, we usually always have, when we're starting a topic, we'll have a daily prompt just to ask them a question about maybe their knowledge in that subject matter, their experience in that, or what they think about it. And by asking that question at the beginning of class, you can kind of get an understanding of where to take the conversation that day, the knowledge level of the overall students, and you know, how in-depth you can get that day.
Who should be teaching young people and young adults about financial literacy? Where should it come from?
I think it should come from parents, hopefully, but also I think, you know, knowing that all parents maybe aren't the best with their money, it's also good to get kids involved at the elementary level all the way through high school. I think she was talking about how junior achievement gets into elementary. I have a son that's a second grader, and he came home and he was talking about what they did that day when I know our local banker went into the classroom, and he was excited about it.
What did he say? What did he bring home with him?
It was just basic budgeting stuff and just counting money, but he was just excited to start learning about that and how it was just when they brought in the bank, and I think he knew the lady that came in, so he was excited.
Susan, what do you make of that community connection there and the interest from a second grader?
Yeah, you know, I hear stories like that, and we do, because you have that attentive audience, especially with your elementary students. And so I just know that some of our teacher partners and volunteers have been partnering, some of them for 20 years. Some of them like to go to the same school. Some of them like to vary all over. And some of them love, you know, high school students. So it's where they have their passion. And I think it's really important to be able to enhance what the teacher's already teaching in school, and just from another perspective.
Susan Peterson, Regional Director of Junior Achievement of Wisconsin, its mission to prepare young people to succeed in a global economy. Marathon High School's Business and Information Technology Instructor Ryan Winkler is here teaching personal finance and life skills for over 20 years. Call in with your questions, your thoughts throughout the discussion, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The State Education Department says personal finance literacy gives students the knowledge and skills needed to make informed financial decisions and develop sound financial habits, manage money effectively. We look at the delivery points of this education with your thoughts and questions. Bring up a question by calling 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Susan Peterson is here, Regional Director of Junior Achievement of Wisconsin. Ryan Winkler teaches financial literacy courses at Marathon High School. Let's go to Dell in Madison. Dell, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning. I'm wondering if your guests could provide some information or some thoughts about comparing, connecting the dots between our state's current levels of illiteracy that we have for people at the secondary level, and how, what levels of literacy are required in order for students to take the optimum benefit from their instruction at the secondary level. I understand third grade scores, but I'm now with the credit piece coming into the secondary level. What is the discussion or the thoughts about the levels of literacy in general in order to
deliver this
and benefit from contract language and other issues regarding financial literacy?
Appreciate it, Del. Yes. Ryan, you first.
I guess I'm kind of don't understand the question. Is, are we talking about financial literacy or the literacy in general?
In order to deliver a curriculum around financial literacy, students need to be able to read and sometimes complicated, types of information about money and finance. How do you approach that with students of varying abilities and reading skills?
Yeah, good question. I think you have to make sure that you have a curriculum that's available to all students that they can understand. I've thought about making an advanced personal finance class for the kids that really want to get into it even deeper with advanced investing. And I think if you want to make sure you reach all the students, you have to make sure that it's a curriculum that everyone can understand, that you can explain it. I limit the reading. They will read, they'll do that, but you'll also present worksheets, you'll also have discussions. So you have to make sure you're differentiated in your instruction and how you can reach all the kids.
What are your thoughts, Susan, on making this knowledge accessible, especially at the high school level?
I will say currently my child is in a school district right now where it's offered, but it's not required. And I know there's a legislation that's out there right now by 2028, so it would be a half credit. And I would like to see all schools require it at the high school level. And I do see it's, carried out throughout, but I think it's really important for students to graduate with this knowledge, because a lot of time it's not talked about at home. And so we, really rely on teachers as our teacher from Marathon, who's on here today, to really be able to provide that curriculum. And then also, if we can get some outside perspectives, just like he said, in investing class, I've been hearing that more and more in students. We have a competition that for scholarship that just includes a lot of those topics as well. So I think it's really important, because I think there's about 40% of our schools right now that do require it. So I'm hoping that we'll get to that point where it'll be 100%.
Along those lines, Anne from Eau Claire sent an email our way and says that they'd be interested in hearing how a school partnership with Junior Achievement can help with school budgets and teacher time if the legislature passes a financial literacy requirement in K-12 schools.
Yeah, so the one thing about that is there are some schools that, they don't have a financial literacy class. And so being able that we have the curriculum, we actually do have semester long curriculum within our high school arena and also middle school that can be provided, especially your smaller schools. So teachers can then go through and pick and choose what they want along to teach and then bring that volunteer in. Also being able to enhance that with that, say, 5 to 7 lesson individual who will come in and teach the different curriculum pieces, enhancing what that teacher is already providing. So we are able to really help out there, and at no cost, they are able to take this curriculum, and we are able to help them fulfill that need.
I hear collaboration and partnership here in order to do this. Would you say that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Ryan, as we talk here about the State Assembly recently reintroducing a bill that would require students to take one financial literacy class prior to graduation from high school, what would districts like yours need if a financial literacy course is required?
Lucky for us, it is required at Marathon, so we're all set. As you add more courses and required courses, that does require high schools to have the staff to teach the content as well. And right now we are experience a teacher shortage in the state of Wisconsin, and it might be difficult for some schools to figure out how to get it in, but I think if they're creative, they could find some teacher within. It doesn't have to be a business teacher. It can be other teachers that teach this as well, but I think it's really important they find someone that is knowledgeable, that kind of has a passion for it, that can get the message across to the students.
Okay, so it could be a teacher outside of the realm of math or business who could perhaps teach these types of skills.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm. Yeah, you'll see your FACE instructors doing it a lot in some districts, business in some, math in some. It's been in social studies in some as well.
Susan, in the next 2-year state budget, Governor Evers wants to spend $5 million to fund a Do the Math program for K-12 financial literacy. What should state education leaders know about running a successful financial literacy program?
Yeah, I think they really do need to provide that funding in the school. The amount of time it does take to put curriculum together, as Ryan probably can attest to, it's not just overnight, you know, putting that curriculum together and to make sure that it is done in a way that you can reach every student. So I think that's super important, and being able to do that is really key.
Susan Peterson of Junior Achievement with us as we talk about managing skills for children, young people, and teens. We also have Ryan Winkler, personal finance educator in high school in central Wisconsin. You can join in along the way with your questions about personal finance and young people at 800-642-1234. Ryan, the Department of Labor is saying inflation is slowing down, even though our prices, consumer prices, are almost 5% higher from last year. What do you tell your students about inflation and personal finance? How do you teach that?
We just talk about how, you know, what it is, give the definition of what inflation is, how it affects them. You know, it's really, we look at the historical data on inflation, then how the average, what it's been over time compared to what it's been the last couple of years, and how that affects their spending and what the dollar is worth. And then we kind of give them some examples. If you were to buy this 2 years ago and now you buy it now, it's going to cost you this much, you know, so they can see the real dollars that their parents or that they are spending right now.
Is that an important lesson right now as you look at inflation in terms of what these students need to know?
Oh, definitely. You know, they have to understand that their dollar isn't worth as much as it is now. And then we talk about raises that certain that industries are giving. And if we're saying, okay, if inflation was 8%, you got a 5% raise. Are you making or losing money on this? And, you know, they understand, hopefully they understand that by the time they leave. You know, we also talk about, with inflation, this probably makes this even worse, but 70% of all families live paycheck to paycheck. So we talk about the importance of having that savings account built up for emergencies, and that inflation makes that even tougher.
Susan, what about living paycheck to paycheck? So many households, so many students in that situation. How does Junior Achievement introduce lessons on budgeting money?
Yeah, well, you know, it really does. So in elementary, I know I'm saying this, but it is the building block. So when you're really talking about your wants versus your needs, do you really need that cell phone? You don't need it. You know, you want it. And, you know, being able to really resonate that with an elementary student, I think, is really important. And then a middle school, really introducing students, because by the time they're 14, a lot of these students already have their habits and, you know, how they are studying in school kind of down. So being able to introduce it at that level, I think, is really important. You know, one thing about the curriculum is we've been doing a lot of pre and post surveys on this side of the state, and we're able to show at least a 10% knowledge gain from before they're take the class to after they're taking the class. And I think with what Ryan is talking about, it is talking about saving, investing in those Roths, and for students to really understand that. And also the debit card, that, you know, money doesn't just flow through there, to really understand how to balance their checkbook and being able to resonate with that and carry them through so they can be economically successful and go on to either a job or schooling.
And
after
those,
high school.
Those 14-year-olds are also considering getting a job at that point of age as they start to think about what might be a side job for them.
Yeah, correct. We do a lot of work readiness programs as well within the high school with something that's called Agenda 2017, where we are working on academic career planning. So being able to introduce students to a lot of different careers is what we're doing, and also being able to show this is what you can make for a salary within this region, but really introducing to the jobs and the careers that are in their community. So they can understand that there is a job for them. They don't have to go to a four-year school. They can go two-year or they can go straight to work. But showing all those opportunities at that age and then, enhancing that throughout, I think is also assisting with this information.
Junior Achievement of Wisconsin Programming in Financial Literacy and Economic Capability. Susan Peterson there, Regional Director. Ryan Winkler is Business and Information Technology Instructor at Marathon High School. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts about this aspect of education. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With dozens of states, including Wisconsin, circulating legislation that would require a personal finance course in high school, we learn about what this instruction is like now. Call in about teens developing financial capability. Join in with your question. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Susan Peterson is a regional director of Junior Achievement of Wisconsin, offering programs for K-12 schools to prepare students for economic success. And Ryan Winkler is here, business and information technology instructor at Marathon High School with financial skills coursework. Let's go to Kurt in Milwaukee. Kurt, hi, go ahead.
Hi, I've been a financial professional for about 30 years, and I do work with a lot of the tribal nations. And these children receive a trust fund every year. I'm actually going up to one of my Ojibwe tribes today to talk to the seniors about how to take this money that they've never seen before, how to protect it, and how to make good financial decisions. I'm just interested in your thoughts, and I'll hang up and listen.
Kurt, thank you. Thoughts on how to present this type of information when these students are faced with these trust funds. Susan, go ahead.
Well, we actually try to do a program like that, working with those students who do receive that funding. And unfortunately, we were trying to get both the parents and the student in attendance, and, this does happen where parents are just not engaged in that part of it. And I think that's important that they also are part of the conversation, but being able to provide these students so they know how to invest and so they don't just get that check and then, spend it right away. I think that's really important. So how we can do this is with Ryan's class is if we can have that requirement in the school and all the other schools that were out there, being able to address that. And I don't know if Ryan's had any experiences with that or if Ryan, if you would have anything to share too.
Not really on that one. That's a unique one. We haven't dealt with that, but it is, every school has its own, they're kind of unique in their own ways. And, you can make your personal finance to what fits your clientele as well.
Kurt, what has come up for you as you interact in with the tribes and teach these types of programs?
I agree with that I need to get the parents more involved. I would like to also start educating the children as early as, it sounds like, seven. Sounds like a fairly good year. The needs and wants. We've been trying to get into the elementary schools and then the middle schools. But my biggest fear is that once they've received the check, They spend it on a car. They don't insurance. The money's literally gone. You know, in my job, I feel is we've worked hard to get them to a certain point in life. How we can keep that and make them understand how our compounding, for example, our 72, all these basic rules. Are there things that really seem to resonate for you, like in an hour about the power of money?
Kurt, thank you. Susan, any tips there?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that we would love to also, I mean, if that school does not have junior achievement, because it's welcome to all school districts throughout Wisconsin, we'd love to, if you could help us get a door opener there, we could also help enhance and provide that. I do think what resonates, especially if you're talking about elementary, is where a second grade, you're counting money, you're learning how business works, you're learning how money moves in a community. Some of these students, and even today, they don't go into banks and credit unions and they don't actually, you know, go and deposit their money. So much is done electronically now. So we have to, you know, adjust how we're teaching and to be able to think about that as we're teaching students, because it's so virtual, and being able to do what he's doing, I think that's probably the best answer is to have a volunteer or being able to share his personal experiences with those students.
I wonder, Ryan, as you've been teaching financial skills over 20 years to students, is there a lesson you use over and over because it just works so well that it clicks?
Yeah, you know, over time, I think over 20 years, you get better as a teacher. And I found a lot of good lessons on a site called Next Gen Personal Finance. It's all free curriculum online. They do great activities. But one thing that clicks, I think, when I introduce the class, we talk about the power of compounding interest. And we show them if you put this much away every month for 30 years, or even if you do it for 15 years and stop and then just let interest take over, how much it could be. And I don't give them the figure that it could be after so many years. I just say, okay, let's guess now, how much are you going to have after 30 or 40 years if you start at age 22? And the kids are so low, you know, they're saying 10,000, 30,000, some maybe say 100,000. But, you know, when you show them that you can be hundreds of thousands or in the millions, if you're just steady with this, I think it really piques their interest. They're like, wow, compounding interest.
Their jaw drops. It really kind of hits
really
the
powerful.
Floor. Yeah.
But then we also get into later on the power of interest. Yeah, their jaw drops when they see those numbers. But then we also talk about the importance of if you have debt, how that compounding interest goes the other way.
Absolutely. You know, in speaking of debt, Ryan, more than half of adults with student loan debt put off really important financial decisions because of that debt load. How do you prepare students for potential college debt?
Once again, you really talk about time management and knowing how much debt you could get into, you know, how that's going to affect you with interest rates down the road. And that, you know, if you don't have the money now, maybe you need to get that part-time job, start making money, and start preparing for it now. Because if you wait till you get the debt, then you have to figure out what you have to do. It might be too late. But so we just talk about, you know, just knowing how it's going to affect them, knowing how it might affect their life choices in the future.
We have Ryan Winkler, who is a high school personal finance educator, and Susan Peterson with us, regional director at Junior Achievement of Wisconsin, as we look at financial literacy among youth, how it is being taught, and efforts around the state. You can join in with your questions and insights at 800-642-1234. Susan, how does Junior Achievement approach debt and using credit cards for payment? What are you teaching there?
You know, we're teaching, you know, you that you only spend what you have, you know, and that's where I talk about that debit card. One lesson also that I know that we often teach, and I teach my daughter too, is that she has a part-time job. And so there's a certain amount that automatically goes into her savings. And then, so you don't even know or think about it, you know, it's just like our 401ks. They're just that automatic. Because if you start it then, I mean, it just is a really good habit that can carry you through, you know, beyond and also within the work world. There's just too much as far as, you know, credit card debt that's out there. And he is right. And being able to teach about that and how that can just become a really hard thing to get through. Some of our volunteers talk about their challenges of, you know, you make a couple really bad decisions and your credit goes in the toilet. So, you know, it takes a while to get that credit back up. And I think that's important to talk about, how something like that can just change your trajectory. But being vigilant about your finances, I think, is important.
Ryan, do you discuss payday loans? Because those can be so dangerous, as we see interest rates well over 300%, sometimes no caps. What do you teach there?
Don't go. We teach them not to even think about payday loans. I said they're the worst thing out there. We talk about that versus credit cards. Sorry.
That's okay. You're in school. We know those sounds. Carry on.
I basically tell them they're terrible. Stay away from them. Don't step foot in them. Try to find money in other ways if you're really in trouble, because they are really bad. And just jumping back to what we were talking about with budgeting and stuff, you know, the one thing that we talk about all the time is pay yourself first. Create that budget and have an amount of money that the first bill you pay every month is to yourself, that you're putting into savings. And then once your savings is built up, you get into the investments. But we talk about paying yourself first. And definitely, I think when I talk to them about the payday loans, I think one of the test questions is, you know, where would you go for this? And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, none of you better answer payday loans, because that's the wrong answer.
Yes. Let's take a call. Mark in New Berlin. Mark, hi.
Hi. My question is, do you guys touch on anything on the government's role in inflation and just the general state of the economy in general? Spending trillions of dollars, not spending trillions of dollars. Do you talk about that at all, or are you talking just about what happens after?
And do you also mean like debt ceiling things?
Debt ceiling things,
okay,
too.
Okay.
Do you recommend spending when you haven't paid off your bills?
Susan, go ahead. Do you get into the current events of economics and the choices that, you know, federal government makes?
Yeah, we actually do have a semester-long curriculum that some of our school districts choose to participate in on economics. We also have a middle school program as JA Economics for Success. So not only are we teaching some of the skills that go along with that, but we are talking about current events and being able to talk about those aspects. And I mean, I think it's really important that we give that teacher that ability to adjust and depend on, you know, where they feel that need is within their school. And if it's not currently being covered, most of our schools currently do have a required economics course to be able to participate and be able to talk about those topics.
Junior Achievement of Wisconsin Regional Director Susan Peterson and Marathon High School Instructor Ryan Winkler with us. Insights on the future of financial literacy skills and teaching money lessons to young people. Still time to join in with your question, what's on your mind, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State government leaders want Wisconsin teens to be equipped with sound financial habits before leaving high school. We explore the work of Junior Achievement of Wisconsin and insights from a longtime instructor of financial literacy and other life skills. Ryan Winkler is here at Marathon High School. Susan Peterson, regional director at Junior Achievement. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Carl is with us in Frederick. Carl, hi. What would you like to ask?
Hi. By the way, thanks very much for having this program. This is something my wife and I have talked about for a long time. I'm in my 70s, and my question, I guess, is that when I was a kid in high school in the 60s, we used to get this financial stuff built in the economics, and even in my ag class. So it was, I don't know if they dropped it in recent years or what, but is this program being offered in the poorer rural counties? Like I'm up in northern Wisconsin, and And then I got a couple comments too.
Carl, thank you. Let's first go to Susan on that about availability in across the state, especially in northern Wisconsin.
Yes, actually, so I work, well, the northwest part of the state in northern Wisconsin. So we have about 20 rural communities that we are working with. So we just really, what we do to provide the program is the school comes to us, or those in the public who wish to bring it to the school and they have that agreement, then they come to us, and then we work on providing that curriculum, and they raise the funds to be able to provide the curriculum. We provide the training and the support. So being able to reach those rural schools, we are doing that on a significant level on the northwest part of the state. And then also in the Wausau area too, there are some rural areas that we're reaching in the northeast part of the state as well. So trying to reach as many as we can, we just can't get to them all, but trying to offer if they want it, being able to work with them. And that's part of it. It's really the collaboration, the relationship between the business community in that area and then also the school district.
Ryan, do you have anything you want to bring up there on access in rural areas?
No, just that I think a lot of schools around Marathon here in central Wisconsin, I think most of them have personal finance as a component of their curriculum.
Okay. Carl, what else would you like to bring up?
Oh, I just want to also comment that parents are definitely the strongest influence or the advocate for their students' learning, and especially in finance. I've seen this over and over again, that students inherit this, or inadvertently inherit this poverty mindset, and we need to really break that cycle too. One more thing, and also we're constantly bombarded with influence to consume and spend and not to save and invest. So it's really difficult to break through that. And one more thing is that, is it influenced or is it expressed that divorce is your best financial long-term, or it's the worst thing for financial long-term? And that staying married is really the best.
Okay, Carl, thank you. A number of things brought up there. And I'm wondering, Susan, anything you want to seize on?
You know, the one topic is we have two facilities called JA Finance Park. One is in the Milwaukee area. Another one is in the northeastern part of the state. And these actually, and so a lot of communities that do a real life experience. And I think we're reaching either your upper level middle school or your freshman at that grade level. And for them to walk through and have to pay their bills, buy their house, buy their car, they get a persona, and they have that 4-hour experience after they've had these lessons in the class. They have to have a balanced budget, or they go back and they have to, you know, change out that car for what they have or whatever. So I think doing those hands-on type of activities, especially at that middle school area, I think being able to walk through what their shoes would be like as an adult is very influential.
Ryan, you know, your students are bombarded on social media to spend, and a lot of things in front of their eyeballs, trying to entice them as consumers. What do you tell them there?
You know, I use a lot of my life examples in class, and I'll tell them how I did things. And I'm pretty financially conservative. My wife's very frugal with our money, which is a good thing. And so, but we talk about debt and we talk about spending. And I just tell them, no, this is how I'm living my life. This class, you're here to get informed on topics that hopefully the information that they get, then they can make informed decisions for themselves. And I said, you don't have to do exactly what I do, but just here's some examples. But we do talk about the stress. Now, people like to spend, but the debt that comes with it and the stress that comes with it, just on the family, on relationships, is a lot. So we do talk about how debt and spending, if you're buying maybe more than you should, that how that can, it can be fun, but in the end, it could also bring a lot of stress on your life.
Susan Peterson at Junior Achievement, one of the signature aspects of it is teaching kids how to run a business. How does introducing kids to entrepreneurship help them understand finances?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's really important because when you run your own business, you have to create a business plan. You are the one who you're doing the budget, you are paying your employees. You have to set the whole background for your business. And so oftentimes we introduce these with what we call our we have an entrepreneurial panels that we do, especially in middle school, entrepreneurs in front of students because it's those building blocks that Ryan is teaching that helps an individual. And I have board members who will say, you know, I wish I had this in school when I was younger, and being able to have that to help them be successful with those choices and just that entrepreneurial mindset. But you want to make sure you have all the tools you need to be able to create a business, and you need to know your fundamentals before you even start being your own entrepreneur.
Rick emailed and wonders what kind of results has junior achievement programs achieved, especially with kids who might not have this kind of instruction at home. Does the program have a way to measure success?
Yes, we do. As I was stating earlier, we also received some United Way funding, and we do some significant pre and post surveys, which measures their attitudinal gains. So as again, we were seeing a 10 to 15% increase in knowledge, but also are they more likely on a percentage of 80% of those alums are more likely to be financially sound in their future. 68% are independent of their parents, which is very important. And just being able to have that strong financial knowledge, I think, is really key. But the ability to be able to measure, I think, is really important. And I think the building blocks, because we are reaching at multiple grade levels, I think is very important as well.
All right. Well, we heard from Amber in Greenwood, email to highlight Loyal School District in central Wisconsin. The district has an endowment fund that employs a full-time teacher who implements a financial literacy education program for grades 3 through 12. And they said the program was started and funded by a former student. Ryan, does that make an impact?
Oh, definitely. You know, if you have someone giving back to the school like that, where they can create a position to make sure that financial literacy is, well, they say third through 12th grade, that has to make an impact.
Susan, is that type of a cycle something that Junior Achievement really keeps an eye on?
Yeah, definitely. I think that that is very important, and especially in your rural areas, they don't have necessarily a fine, you know, someone who can teach that financial literacy because they don't have all the resources that your larger school districts might have. So having that endowment and having that funding is key. We're always looking for grant opportunities and ways that we can help provide assistance to the schools, and just being able to have that and what forethought for that student to be able to provide that at Loyal.
Susan and Ryan, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Susan Peterson is Regional Director of Junior Achievement of Wisconsin, representing the North and West Central Region. Ryan Winkler, Business and Information Technology Instructor at Marathon High School in Central Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.